Marcus Jones, Baylor wide receiver with me on ESPN Central Texas. When you were running towards the end zone in that bowl game against Vanderbilt, with all of what you've been through, your journey, did anything flash through your mind in those 2 or 3 seconds after you caught the pass?
Honestly, not really. I was really just like on autopilot. I was just like, you know, catch the ball, turn outside, and then I saw no one's there, so I was just like, run. Nothing. I don't know. I don't think I saw like flashes of my life or anything, but it was definitely just like a, oh, I'm like running to the end zone now. So definitely a really surreal experience, I would say.
Here you are, a non-scholarship player for the longest of time, a walk-on player. Mm-hmm. Nobody really knew much about you at McKinney High School.
Right.
And here you are catching a pass for a school and a program that needed that
right.
adrenaline rush. Mm-hmm. So when you were in kindergarten, you had third grade reading skills. Is that where it started?
I mean, yeah.
You were ahead of the curve academically?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, I was always in the library, like, checking out books, you know, checking out, just trying to, you know, harder books. You know, my classmates might have been reading something, but I was trying to read, you know, chapter books, stuff like that.
Your mom told me she wanted you to read and read and read. Do you remember those, what she used to say to you about that?
Yeah, I remember she used to tell me, she used to try and make me read maybe like a chapter book a week or something like that. She always asked me like what book I was reading on, or like what book I was reading that week or that day. She always was pushing me, you know, to go beyond what, you know, I guess what was expected of me.
When you were in McKinney ISD at that age, but there's like a gifted program, a talented gift. Mm-hmm. These are for young children.
Yeah.
There's 1,400 students at this young age in McKinney ISD, and you were one of 7 included in this gifted, talented program.
When we were doing stuff with the, you know, we call it the GT program. We were doing stuff with GT. It was just stuff, you know, that was interesting. It was like creative stuff. It was like stuff that challenged our brain, and, you know, I mean, I didn't really think much about it then, but it was definitely a really cool experience to do.
Have you ever had a B?
Yeah.
What's the lowest grade you ever had that you remember? What was the and you remember the class?
In high school, I got a B in physics, and AP physics. And then in college, my lowest grade was a B in calculus 3.
You're talking about classes that I didn't have to take. I didn't take them. I mean, like, on purpose. I avoided right. those. Did that bother you? Was that a competitive thing for you?
Oh, definitely, you know, because my first semester, you know, I got all A's. So I was like, oh, in college, I was like, oh, you know, college is, I can fly by. But then that second semester really got me. You know, I wasn't studying as much. You know, I wasn't doing as many practice problems. And so that really showed up. When calculus 3 and I got the B in the class, I was like, oh, like, that's not what I want to be about, so.
Was that a time when you realized that the process, which you hear Coach Rule right. mention, or the chopping wood, which you hear about in sports, or mm-hmm. you don't want to let anything slide, you got to always every day get the max every day? Did you learn that?
Oh, definitely, yeah. It was definitely like, I can't just, you know, rely on my smarts and, or like my intelligence anymore, like in high school, like, I have to put in the work in college, you know, learn the concepts, do the practice problems, stuff like that.
Your sister's a teacher.
Yes.
Dallas.
Yes.
And she's trying to get her master's degree at the same time. She's mm-hmm. an elementary school teacher in mm-hmm. Frisco. So education has always been a part of the family. I know what Lakeisha Definitely. Does. I know mm-hmm. what your mom's background is and yours as well. What does she say to you about your academics?
I mean, honestly, Dallas was one of the first people who, like, started me off in math. I remember she would have, like, these like, math books, and we would go through them together, and she'd be teaching me stuff, you know, and she was 3 years older than me, so it was obviously, like when I was in kindergarten, that was, like, third grade kind of math, and she was, you know, already teaching me stuff then, and, I mean, that obviously helped start me ahead of the curve as well, so, yeah.
You have won numerous academic awards. I even mentioned when you were an ankle biter,
yeah.
you know, a young boy, you won awards. You won the Arthur Ashe Scholar Award here at Baylor, mm-hmm. which is others are awarded for their academic excellence. Do you realize what you're accumulating academically at times with the how you're honored?
No, not really. I mean, I have a shelf in my house and it's got all these awards on them, and, you know, they're all academic awards. I'm just like, oh, I guess I got another one to put on the shelf, you know. I mean, that's not really something I try to focus on, you know.
They're a dime a dozen to you.
Yeah.
But, well, you're not focused on them, but you earned
right,
them.
Right, yeah.
Is there one that's meant more to you than anything else?
I got an academic award from the School of Engineering and Computer Science, and that was a really cool award because most of my other academic awards were from the athletic side of things, and mm-hmm. so to get one, you know, from the academic side was really, really cool.
That's cool. Now, you're not supposed to be playing football.
Yeah.
Your mother.
Yeah. I'm not surprised she said something
Amy,
about that.
Amy did everything she could to push you to basketball, right?
Yes, she did.
Was that your first love or her first love?
It was definitely her first love. She grew up... she grew up... You know, she's one of the biggest Michael Jordan fans out there. My middle name is Jordan, in fact, because of that. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I played basketball long before I started playing football.
Your first name is Marcus, your middle name is Jordan, and their initials are MJ.
Yes, sir.
Michael Jordan or LeBron?
LeBron.
Oh, your mother's... She's going to call you and say, hey, nice interview, but...
But, exactly. And, I mean, we have that debate all the time in the receiver room, too, you know. Everyone... All the old heads are old school, want to say Michael. But...
You must not have ever seen Michael Jordan live. I'm gonna get you some highlight tapes. Okay, you're driving home one day or whatever it might be, and you tell her
mm-hmm.
what about sports.
Oh yeah, so I can tell you this. It was the last game of my freshman year of high school football. I mean, it was only my second year playing tackle. I mean, we had just lost bad, and I was sitting there, and my mom's driving home, and like basketball tryouts were that weekend, and I was like, you know, like, Mom, I know you're going to be upset, but I don't want to play basketball. I just want to focus on football. And she's like, that's your choice, but since you're not going to play basketball, you got to run track. And I was like, that's fair enough.
And that worked out really well.
Yeah, that worked out well, too.
The basketball part of it, you had not been in pads at all for more than, what, a year or two?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't play tackle football until eighth grade.
Did that make it... Did that allow you not to be worn out? And young kids that have played Pop yeah. Warner football have still gone on to play in the NFL. We see those stories. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there's a burnout factor.
Oh, definitely.
Did that any way help you not get burned out in the sport you play today?
I mean, I think so. I mean, as a little kid, I mean, probably getting knocked around. I mean, I remember I did play a year of, like, Pop Warner my third grade year, and I mm-hmm. remember... I didn't really like the contact that much. I felt like I was too small to be running around with some of those kids. Some of those kids are pretty big, even in third grade. And, like, yeah, definitely, I think starting later was really big in not helping me, having me burn out.
When was the first time you ever went to Disney World, and why?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess technically the first time would have been when I was at, like, the turn of the millennium with my family. We all went for 2000, but I guess the first time I remember was... I went for the NFL flag football tournament.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, my team represented the Dallas Cowboys. It was like an eight team playoff, you know, flights to Disney World, and we all got to play out there at like the little sports complex. That was really, really cool.
That was awesome.
Oh yeah.
Your mother, MJ fan, did she have any athleticism in her? I can't record audio. Your facial expression.
I mean, she said that at one point she was a bodybuilder, and I mean, I guess.
Okay.
But I don't think she was ever really a sports person, though.
Did you know Darvin Ham?
I did, yes,
and
sir.
And he's played at Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Very good player.
Yes, sir.
Did he have an influence on basketball with you? And then what did he say to you, or did you ever talk to him after you decided to give up basketball?
Oh, no, I never really got to talk to Coach Ham after... I gave up basketball, but, you know, even when I was playing basketball, when I was playing on his team, that was awesome. You know, he taught me a lot about the game, and he taught me to start believing. He was one of the first people to taught me to start believing in myself on the court, so.
Why did you send paperwork to Harvard?
I mean, honestly, I was trying to go to Harvard, you know. I had gone to the summer camp the football camp the year before my senior year. One of the coaches had come and watched my spring football before senior year, and they said they wanted me to come out. And so I went to their camp, got to talk to their head coach. I mean, it was a really, really cool deal.
He wanted you to play for them?
Mm-hmm.
So he saw you at camp?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else wanted you to play football.
That's very true.
But you don't just wake up one day, hey, I'm just going to send papers to Harvard. Right. I mean, you got to have the ability to think that that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And that is still as hard as it is, I guess, to get into.
Right.
They rejected you?
They did.
What was that letter? What is that day like?
Oh, that was a really sad day. You know, I was waiting for that. Because, I mean, it was either, I mean, I had, it was probably like in April before I had to decide where I was going to school. And so I was really waiting for that letter. And I mean, it was either there or here. So, I mean, everything, I guess, worked out in the best.
Everything happens for a reason.
Exactly.
So no Harvard.
Right.
Which is, yeah, especially with your academia.
I mean, right.
But all of a sudden you have a personal trainer. Ronnie Braxton.
Yes, sir.
He played college football at Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw something in you.
Mm-hmm.
How did you meet him, and how quickly did all of a sudden he realize this Marcus Jones has it, or has athletic ability to do something?
I mean, I met him through one of my coaches in high school that had left. And, I mean, my mom knew I was committed to football, and so she had asked him. He had been really close to our family. He had, like, known my sisters through high school and everything, and so he, I mean, my mom was like, hey, how, like, what do we need to do to play football at the next level? And he was like, get with Ronnie. And so, I mean, you can't even just, like, go work out with Ronnie. Ronnie, like, tries you out, basically, to see if he even wants to train you, and so...
So he made you earn his time.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's not like you just paid money, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, we went out, like, literally the first workout I had, he was just trying to see what I could do. I mean, he just threw me in the workout with everyone else, trying to see how fast I could pick everything up. And, I mean...
He then obviously felt like there was something there for him to work, too.
He did. I mean, literally, right after, he didn't even... He just called me McKinney the whole time, because I think I was wearing, like, McKinney high shorts.
Yeah.
And he... I mean, after the workout, he just went over with to me and my mom, and he was just like, he can start coming, and then we started talking about pay and stuff like that.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the next chapter. If Harvard had accepted you, would you have met or done anything with Ronnie Braxton?
I think so. I think I still would have worked out with Ronnie.
What's a Spark score? A Nike Spark, what does that mean?
I guess it's like the score they give at the Nike Spark combines all over the country. It's kind of like... I guess a general rating of your athleticism kind of thing.
At a camp at AT&T Stadium, you went. Clay Johnston was at that camp.
Did you? Oh.
The linebacker?
I didn't know that.
you had a 107.82, which is probably like you're used to that because you're grade point average. Top 1% Nike Spark score.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, that gets people to notice you. Who was the coach that... Ronnie Braxton played for Art Briles at Houston. Mm-hmm. He was the coach at the time at Baylor.
Right.
That's the connection,
mm-hmm.
if no one remembers that, of how you ended up
exactly
here.
Yeah.
And so how did that work out? And because if you're not scholarship, you just say, okay, I'm going to go to Baylor. You got to get accepted to Baylor, which I'm sure that wasn't a, you know, that's not always easy. But
right.
How did you just apply? And
yeah, I mean, Ronnie brought a couple of us down to a Baylor camp one day. Ronnie obviously knew Coach Briles, and so Coach Briles, I got to talk to Coach Briles for a little bit, got me in contact. Coach Ziggy, he was like the, I guess he was like the walk-on director kind of, mm-hmm. recruiter kind of thing, or kind of person, and so got in contact with him, and I was like, well, Baylor it is then, you know, got accepted to Baylor, and showed up on the first day of school to practice. And
because
so.
You couldn't practice in August.
Right, yeah, I mean...
You weren't on scholarship.
Yeah, right? I wasn't on scholarship. You know, I wasn't in, like, the camp 105 or 110 or whatever it was at that point. And so, Lily showed up the first day, did my physicals, like, that weekend before.
Mm-hmm.
Showed up the first day, I was out there in helmets watching practice, and so...
They've always had great wide receivers. Did you have any idea that you could play at that level?
No, I mean, I always had dreams, you know. I was always going to work hard to, but, I mean, that was definitely... That was always definitely a goal of mine, was to get out on the field as a wide receiver.
Because that was a stretch where you had Corey Coleman, mm-hmm. Terrence Williams.
Right. Jay
Katie
Lee.
Cannon, Jay Lee. All those other ones were Dinette. Yeah.
Right.
Your mother, she loves you and your sisters. That's a given, right? Lakeisha, Dallas, and Marcus.
Yes, sir.
Do you realize how successful she was as a business person when she was 20, early 20s?
I did. I mean, I knew she was super, I knew she was a part of Beneficial and that she was very high-ranking manager, something like that.
She was the first youngest female manager of the corporation at the age of 22. She has no college degree.
Right.
This goes to show you if you work hard enough.
Exactly.
What has she taught you about hard work?
I mean, she's taught me just, you know, believe in yourself, never give up. She's always been in our corners, you know. Any of us, like me and my sister's corner, she's always been there to support us. And she's always been there in the best of times and the worst of times. Mm-hmm. And always telling us, you know, worst of times, keep your head up. Best of times, you know, just stay on the grind, keep working. So
you have Lakeisha, who's involved in sport management, mm-hmm. and runs. She's been a part of the World Cup, mm-hmm. the Summer Olympics, I think, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And Dallas is the elementary school teacher in Frisco that's going to earn her master's degree.
Exactly.
Success across the board. Is there competition among the sisters?
I mean,
you and them. And
oh, definitely. I mean, between them, it's definitely more, you know, the fashion side of things, who gets more likes and stuff like that. They always try and one-up each other in our family pictures, stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
But and then I guess for like us across the board, it's always about who gets, like when my mom posts something, you know, on Facebook or something, who gets more likes about each one of us, stuff like that.
So that's the now you're the baby, so your mom right now is a lot of the focus is on you because
definitely,
of what your journey's been, right?
Because I'm still in school.
Do you think that your sisters get a little jealous of that?
definitely. I would say a little bit. I mean, we always jokingly tease my mom about oh, you always post so much about Marcus, blah 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 blah. But, you know, I think it's all in good fun.
Your mother told me that Lakeisha was raising you and your sister Dallas,
mm-hmm.
basically. Because she was this corporate, like, ran this company, a $15 million company.
Right.
And she gave that up.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
She wanted to spend more time with us. I mean, she's like, yeah, the money is good, but I want to be a part of my kids' lives growing up. She wanted to, you know, be the mom that was always there, you know, on the sidelines of sports games, and that's what she ended up being.
That's commitment.
It is. Yeah.
When did you realize that she did? I mean, when, because she's worked at a church for 20-something years.
Right.
She was there for 20-something years.
Mm-hmm.
When you found out that she was going to take a pay cut and give up a what would be a corporation career. She could run a company.
Mm-hmm. I knew she loved us, but that really was just like, oh, wow. Because, I mean, I know some people would have just, you know, stayed with the money and been like, I'll catch up with my kids later, I guess.
Right.
But she was like, no, I want to be a part of my kids' lives. And so, I mean, she really showed her commitment and love to us by doing that.
If you walk around in a pair of jeans, are they going to sag?
No. Oh, no. My mom always said that if she ever saw me sagging my jeans, then she would just pants me herself. She'd just pull them down. She'd pull the jeans all the way down.
She'd just rip them all the way off, yeah. Right? So that never happened.
No,
were you ever tempted?
Oh, no. Honestly, I don't even really like wearing jeans, so I was in basketball shorts and sweatpants most of the time anyway.
She told me that you don't really lie to her, but you may not always tell her everything.
That's all.
Is that true?
That is true.
But there was a time early on where you might not have told her something, or you kind of had a little white lie, and she was going to spank you.
That's also true, yes.
And what did you tell her to... I mean, because she ran the family.
Definitely.
She was everything.
Right. I'm trying to think. I think I've only been spanked once in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what was it for?
You remember how many times you told her to spank you?
I think it was like 10 times.
Yep.
Yeah. A belt, yeah.
You told her that!
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I remember I had lied. I don't remember what I had lied about, though. But
who did it hurt more, her or you?
Oh, definitely her. I don't think she'd ever spanked any of us kids.
Uh-huh. So, but that was the moment, huh?
I think so, yeah.
What'd you learn?
Yeah, don't lie to my mom.
Quickly, right?
Quickly.
Your father has not been a part of your life.
Yes, sir.
Since you were 1 year old.
Mm-hmm.
You remember him at all?
No, not at all.
Have you ever wanted to know anything about him?
When I was younger, I remember I used to be really jealous, you know, seeing all the other kids mm-hmm. with their dads, hanging out with their dads at the sports games and stuff. And I mean, honestly, I did have moments where I was just wondering, you know, had thoughts like, maybe he doesn't love me, maybe he didn't want me, stuff like that. But, I mean, I had my mom, and she was, you know, she was enough for mom and dad roles. And even outside of my mom, I had great coaches in my life. I had, you know, great role models, my friends' dads, people in my church. They were always willing to step into that role. And so I never really felt like I wanted for a father because I had plenty around me.
Why one day at church did you not want to take the Lord's Supper?
I think it's just because I had felt so much, I guess I had just so much built up anger.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I just didn't feel like it was right for me to accept something like that when I needed something. I guess I needed help, you know? And I do remember that. I remember I just, like, hysterically broke down and, like, yeah, that was definitely, that was just, yeah, I remember talking to my mom about it, and, you know, I remember I just used to be so mad, you know, just, I mean, I don't even know, it was like I was blaming myself, I was blaming her for not having a dad, and so, yeah, I mean, I guess eventually it just all boiled over that day.
When you had to write your letter to Harvard, you had to explain your family life.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to explain why you had no father mm-hmm. in your life.
Right.
How hard was that?
I'd say that if I hadn't, you know, hadn't been my whole life without my father, it would have been harder. But, I mean, I grew up in the suburbs. Everyone as a dad there, basically, and so I was used to, you know, the questions. Kids don't know, like, not to ask that, and so yeah, I remember when I was younger, people would always be like, oh, where's your dad? And I'd be like, oh, you know, mm-hmm. I'd be like, I don't have a dad, or, like, you know, my parents are divorced, stuff like that, and so, I mean, by the time, I mean, I guess by the time I had to write that letter, it really wasn't anything else to me.
So, Baylor goes through a 3 or 4 year changeover, mm-hmm. makeover,
mm-hmm.
coaches leaving, Coach Briles fired, Jim Grobe, interim coach, and then they hire this guy from Philadelphia that nobody even knew if it was, you know, what, you, not much about him.
Right.
I mean, those in college football did.
Right.
When you heard Matt Rhule was going to be the head football coach at Baylor, what was your first reaction?
Honestly, I was like, who is that? I mean, I'd never heard of Coach Rhule before, I guess before you come here, so.
So, you guys play in a bowl game in Arizona, right?
Right.
Were you on that trip?
I was,
okay,
yes, sir.
Okay, you beat, that's the trip that was the last game of the old regime.
Exactly.
Against Boise,
mm-hmm.
right?
Boise State, yes, sir.
I don't know if your mom had met Coach Rhule yet. Do you remember this conversation?
All I remember is that I think, I'm trying to think. I know she'd gone up and said thank you to him, and then I know she started crying when she talked to him.
She cried during his speech inside the Farrell Center. Did she tell you that? She was at church, she was at her office, she was watching it, mm-hmm. I don't know, online maybe.
Probably.
And she broke down.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then she did it again when she met him.
Right. Yeah.
Do you remember why?
Did
she ever tell you why?
I think she said that she was just super thankful mm-hmm. for him coming in and stepping in, you know, to the spot. And Yeah.
She was always, the family will always be grateful for Coach Browse giving you the opportunity.
Of course.
And then, of course, there's the struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And that, as a parent, I'm thinking your son's in Waco or wherever you might have been. And then, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
When your mom and sister Dallas were at Olive Garden, on the day that Marcus Jones is told he's now a scholarship football player. They're trying to have dinner, and you interrupt the dinner.
I did. Oh, yeah, you know. That was about last year this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was FaceTime. I FaceTimed her. We were having dinner over in the Little Winners Lounge at McLean. You know, they told me I got a scholarship, and so I went. You know, I went outside to call my mom, and like as soon as she picked up, I just started like crying, and she thought something was wrong. She thought I was hurt or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I finally told her, she started crying, and she was like freaking out and stuff. And so, yeah, that was definitely a really happy moment for me.
You call her, they're trying to have dinner, they think something's wrong with
right.
you.
And so my mom, yeah, of course my mom, you know, she's getting all panicked and stuff.
Oh yeah, well, oh, yeah. Every mom would, right?
Of course.
Something's wrong with her baby.
Mm-hmm.
Something's happened to Marcus.
Right, right.
She walks out in the parking lot. Wouldn't you love to have a video of that conversation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that was definitely something, you know, just hysterically crying on FaceTime, mm-hmm. So.
When you hear about players being given a walk-on to a scholarship player, it's always emotional.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just, like, oh, your last name. It's, you have to, there's, like, earn every, and that's what life is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever think you would be scholarship? Was there ever a time you doubted or never thought it would happen?
I mean, honestly, yeah. You know, walk-ons, I feel like we have this mentality that, you know, we just fly under the radar, you know, you do what you're told, you know, go to meetings, go to practice, and then go home. Yeah, this, I guess, kind of like a mentality or like this thought that like, you know, coaches don't really see what we do, you mm-hmm. know. And so, I mean, definitely, I just had that, I guess, that kind of mindset. Like, obviously, I was still going to work hard, do everything I could, but also I had this, I guess, this thought that, like, I don't even know if they see me right now.
Right. And then all of a sudden you get it.
Right.
Other than family, who do you think was happiest that you received an earned scholarship?
I'd say, I guess, probably my teammates.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's says
guess
a lot,
yeah, right? Yeah, some of my, like, you know, my walk-ons that I'd come up with and been on the team with, I'm sure they were pretty happy for me, too.
So you're doing something with the Navy. It's a grant, right?
Yes, sir.
Is it
yeah.
a research project?
Mm-hmm.
Is that one of those things you can't tell me what it is or you'd have to kill me? Is it that top secret?
It's not that top secret.
You can't even tell your mom much.
Well, I can't tell my mom. I've tried to explain it to my mom a couple times, but I feel like it just goes over her head just a little bit.
And it might mine. So what are you researching?
Right.
You got this grant. Baylor was given a grant from the Navy.
Right.
And then you are working on something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Navy, I guess it's technically two grants because we're working on two different projects. But the first project is basically a way to... So the first grant deals with autonomous underwater vehicles and basically how they communicate with each other to know where... to know each other's location better underwater. And then the second grant deals with this concept called stochastic computing, integrating that with artificial neural networks.
Artificial?
Yeah.
Neural?
Yeah.
Networks.
Yes.
What the hell does that mean?
Basically, trying to build the neurons that fire in our brain using electronics and circuits and stuff.
And you understand that?
I did it when I first started the project, but I definitely have a better understanding now.
And you've had Elon Musk has offered you, is that right? Has that company offered you jobs?
I actually got offered a Tesla internship over this past summer to go work at one of their gigafactories. Yeah.
You've got the whole world in your hands, don't you? And yet you've got this thing, you got a football
right.
to play.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a conflict at all? Not a conflict. It's a great problem.
Right.
You got this, and you got that, and you got GigaFat, whatever all that means. And you got the Navy, and you've got Coach Rule and Baylor, and what you're doing here, and teammates are proud of you. And is it sometimes hard to fathom some of the things you've done? And I know you got a long way to go, but that you have all this and you're able to juggle it. Some are struggling to get up in the morning and go to class.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's part of being a college kid sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I guess sometimes it can be kind of overwhelming, you know. The pressure sometimes, you know, pressure that everyone expects such great things. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know.
Do you understand what a Rhodes Scholar is?
I think so. I know we've had multiple talks about it. It's about, it's just like a scholarship for, I guess, to go study in Oxford for 2 years kind of thing. Yeah.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah.
The Campbell Trophy Academic Heisman?
Right.
You're possibly going to be nominated or have been nominated for that or will be?
Will be.
Will be?
Yes.
There's another thing, right?
Yeah.
That means you've earned it, but also people appreciate what you've done.
Right.
I have an award every year. I give out 20 scholarships every year to student athletes in high schools who earn academic excellence, who happen to be a part of athletics. And if you would have been in this market, not at McKinney, you would have absolutely, I don't think there's any doubt, whenever your senior year was, what, 5, 6 years ago, would have been. That to me is so special.
Right.
'Cause what does student athlete mean to you?
You know, we're students that also have athletic tendencies, I guess.
Student first?
Exactly.
Academics first?
Mm-hmm. Academics first, you know, whatever sport you play second.
Did you ever struggle with that? Academics, then athletics?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I remember, I mean, like, my senior year, definitely. I mean, I wasn't getting many looks, and so I was trying to play my best football I could, so I was definitely, you know, working out with Ronnie a lot, trying to make that last push, I guess, to try and, you know, find somewhere to go and play. But
and there is a chance, better than whatever happens here, that if things go well, from walk-on to no offers to being rejected by Harvard, that if things go well with your size and speed and ability, that maybe playing for this program gives you an opportunity to be seen by a scout in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That might delay some of the other things that are sitting on the table for you. Is that a legitimate dream of yours? Do you feel like that can happen?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, it would be, I guess it would just almost be a disservice to anyone along my football journey who's believed in me and helped me along the way to not give my all in this part of my life and see where it'll take me.
How's Panda doing?
You know, she's really good. She's a little cooped up right now because of camp. She's fine.
It's a dog?
Yeah.
And you got another one back home?
Mm-hmm, I do.
What's the greatest thing about a dog? What's the absolute best personality trait of a dog?
The unconditional love.
That's exactly right,
isn't it?
Oh, no matter what day you've had, you come home, they want to lick you in the face and just snuggle, get up in your lap, up in your business, and just...
Exactly.
They don't care whether you drop passes in practice or you got a
bad grade on the test.
They don't care, do they?
Mm-mm. She's always there. She's always excited to see me. Always wants to play.
But you've had that with your mother.
Mm-hmm. I know. I feel like, is that something she told you to say?
Nope. You know, I've done this for a long time, and I remember she told me about Panda, who's your pit mix.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that'd be a pretty good way to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you had this unconditional love. You have this dog that doesn't care.
Right. Yes, sir.
And a mother that has been amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
You want to say something to her?
Yeah, you know. Well, Mama, I mean, I love you, obviously, but you really are a queen, and you are the best person I know.
Marcus Jones, senior at Baylor. He has more on his plate than most people can even fathom, and also has a football season coming up. Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for your time. This is ESPN Central Texas.